Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During the Sunday school hour today, we addressed the first lesson and its surrounding readings, all having to do with Elijah, the great prophet, and his successor, Elisha. And during the events of the next few Sundays, we'll be dealing with following Jesus. So I thought perhaps today might be better suited if we look at the Galatians text together. I invite you to open the celebrate and look at the text again. Galatians, you know, seems to be a fitting focus because of the way it starts out. Today is the Sunday before the week of 4th of July. And you will be hearing over the next few days an awful lot of words about freedom. So the words that begin that particular lesson today, that we are called and given freedom, is something we could discuss. Now, most of you know that I grew up in a military family. Our lives were largely guided by the decisions made by others. Most of the time, I think those made in the Pentagon. As to where we lived, how we lived, whether my father was with us or not, all those things were decided by someone else. We moved frequently, and my perspective on war and race relations and regional distinctions around this country, even my opinions about those who serve in the armed forces, all of these are shaped by my experiences. Sometimes we lived on base. Sometimes we lived off base. And that has shaped my understanding of life and community as well. In addition, some of you know, I spent 17 years married to a Vietnam veteran. He had served with distinction, but also came back wounded and weary. And we learned together about the results of that war. For him, it meant post-traumatic stress disorder, long before there was a clinical diagnosis of such a thing. And all of my experiences affect how I approach such holidays as the 4th of July. When we hear that American freedom is not free, it was bought with a price, I think I and some of you here know what that might mean. I know that for some of my Protestant brothers and sisters in some of our neighboring churches, we'll use today and next Sunday to lift up the country in prayer, as we all always ought to, of course. But they will, some of them, emphasize God's blessings upon the United States and talk about the ideal of America and its exceptionalism. But you really won't hear that from me. And that's in part because of my experience. I do not believe, as some do, that God specifically blesses this nation in ways that God does not intend for all nations. When I say God bless America, I don't mean that to exclude other countries. Because our God is the God of all nations, all peoples, and all of humanity. That doesn't make me any less patriotic, but I might express it differently. Because one of the things I do believe is exceptional is the fact that we have inherited an amazing democracy. That is exceptional. Those of us fortunate to be Americans are given opportunities that too are exceptional. And those opportunities are to make a difference in the world. Following World War I, America and the rest of those who won World War I made some decisions. And those decisions essentially set up some of the factors that created World War II. And so we learned a great deal from that. And with foresight, following World War II, we invested differently. We invested in those territories and countries we had named as enemy. And they become for us a trusted partner And so we have a network of trusted partnerships that come out of that war. And our democracy may not be perfect, but we are a perfect experiment in it. And really, our country is not very old compared to some other successful governments worldwide. But to the extent that we can, in a healthy way, I am fully supportive of sharing the democratic ideal. I applaud that. But we don't have a corner on the market when it comes to loving freedom. Because all peoples everywhere love freedom. Sometimes they'll fight for it. Sometimes they are able to celebrate it. Sometimes they're not. But in the reading today, this discussion about freedom in the book of Galatians might help us consider a little bit how we consider freedom in our nation as well. I'm not going to make any direct parallels. You can do that for yourself. But I will talk about the community in Galatia. The Galatians can teach us something about freedom and the way we use it and think about it. Because the truth is that bondage comes in many different forms. It doesn't necessarily mean handcuffs or straps around the hands or the legs. I'm referring to bondage of a different sort. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, but that does not mean we are not in bondage. People are caught up in bondage to debt, for instance, in our communities. Some are in psychological bondage to their past. They cannot live today or tomorrow differently. Some are in bondage to emotional crises, events beyond their control. And some experience religious bondage when their theology does not really represent the God of love that we know. And still others are in emotional bondage to people who do not respect them or might abuse them. But Paul still writes to all of us, "For freedom we have been set free." In particular, he was referring to freedom from the law. Last week we heard a little bit about the law being our guardians, our disciplinarian, until Christ came. But in another way, I think we are set free from the law that says we must be good enough. We must be good enough for God or for one another. I think we are set free from that law, no matter what our circumstances. St. Paul was writing the church in Galatia because there were harsh debates going on. Infighting had erupted in the young church. And it was all because of some people's notion that in order to be a Christian, one had to be circumcised. That is, to obey the law, the Jewish law, that meant belonging. But some did not believe that this was so. And when Paul writes the people of Galatia, that's what he's talking about in terms of a focus on the flesh. The Galatians were allowing the debates over these requirements to take over the law of Jesus. That is the law of love and the love of one's neighbor. In Christ, they'd been given freedom from the Jewish law, but they turning right around to submit again to the yoke of slavery to that same law is what he was talking about in this text. But I think you can also see that it might be other ways to think about this text, about your life, in your relationships, in our community life or in our nation's life. Our freedom from constraints is so that we have freedom for something else. And that something else is not a lawlessness. Rather, it is an invitation into a new life in Christ that means a life of service and love of neighbor. We have freedom in Christ, and that is a freedom to love and to love radically, to love without reservation, just as Jesus did. But we know that any good gift, even the gift of freedom, can be misused. People can misuse their freedom to dominate others or to abuse them. Folks can use freedom to take away the freedom of others. We see that happening too. People can misuse freedom in the midst of a beloved community, wreaking havoc with unhealthy behavior. But the community has power, and that power is love. Love which overcomes our differences and even our unhealthiness. There are some who don't want to make a fuss. They don't want to make anyone mad. But the truth is, life together is hard. And it's hard work to stay together because God has gathered such different people. And under one roof, it isn't the fact that we like one another or have a lot in common that holds us together. It is rather Christ alone. And when we forget that is when those other things get in the way. Paul's words are a warning to us. Love your neighbor as yourself, he says. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care. Do not be consumed. I think he was giving a warning shot. And this isn't just for the church in Galatia. It's for us as well. And I think it might fit for the larger community or the other groups in which we gather throughout the week. Maybe to our nation as well. Life in community is precious and delicate, stronger than we realize, but also vulnerable when it's not cared for. And the church has always struggled with these things as well. It should be expected. First, because God calls us together from various different places, so many differences between us, it's a wonder that we walk in the same door. But because our life is together is important, it might mean we have to work at it, to fight for it, but to fight in a healthy way. We can expect to have differences of opinion. That's normal. And working out is tough work. But what holds us together is Christ alone. Nothing else. And really, we're an entirely volunteer community. No one forced you to get up this morning and come, unless you're a young person and a parent did so, I guess. We can't force people to come together who don't want to. We can't force people to work out differences or to resolve conflicts. But we are called to reconciliation work. That is part of our job together. And we can learn a great deal about ourselves by how we handle the conflict we do have. If ever there is a place to put into practice the love of one's neighbor, the ethics of the kingdom of God, it is right here. It is right now. And I'm convinced that being made children of God and filled with the love of Christ means we are equipped to do that and so much more. We've been set free to use our freedom for something really important. We've been given the Holy Spirit and empowered with the Spirit's gifts in order to put them to use, not just here, but out in the world as well. And we have a choice. We can choose to fall back into the yoke of slavery, which means bondage to fear, bondage to the anger and frustration we have, bondage to strife. Or we can use our freedom to claim what it means to be a community in Christ. That means exercising our muscles of patience and kindness, gentleness, self-control, and harnessing the power of the Spirit for the hard work of reconciliation and peacemaking. May God give us the grace to become the community that God has called us to be, so that in our work of reconciliation, others might see glimpses of the kingdom of heaven, and those who do not yet believe will see something that calls from them faith. in this amazing God who can do amazing things through us. I believe the old camp song is absolutely true. They will know we are Christians by our love. Amen.